Welcome, Chiefs Kingdom, to the Arrowhead Fanatic Podcast. I am Jason Thomas, and there have been some happenings in Chiefs Kingdom going on here recently, and I kind of wanted to get to them just because I didn't want to kind of forget about mentioning some of these things, because if I go too long between podcasts, sometimes I kind of forget things that I wanted to touch on. And today, the Chiefs signed Harrison Butker to a 5-year, $20 million contract, I believe was what he got, which is, you know, good money for a kicker. But there is no question that Harrison Butker is the best kicker in Chiefs history, hands down. I don't know if I've ever talked about that specifically on any of these podcasts, but his numbers are ridiculous. He has just been phenomenal. Even the season where he came in for Cairo Santo and just played part of the season, he shattered the Chiefs' all-time kicking records that season. So I'm glad he got his extension. And, you know, hopefully he can keep being clutch for this Chiefs team for a long time. The other extension that I was excited about was Mitchell Schwartz. He got extended another year through 2021. I was a little bit off. I actually thought his contract was up after this season. I don't know if I'd mentioned that in a previous podcast, but that's what I had in my head. But he was signed through the next 2 years. They extended him one more year. No, excuse me. And that was an $11 million extension. So he got paid and got paid well. Now, Mitchell Schwartz is awesome. He is an incredibly good right tackle. He's probably hands down the best right tackle in the league. Probably a top 3 or 4 tackle, period. And anyone, you know, anyone that watches the AFC West knows that over the past 5 or 6 years, the right tackle has been way more important in the AFC West than the left tackle. It's not been about protecting the quarterback's blind spot. It's been about blocking guys like Von Miller and Melvin Ingram. And, of course, even with the Chiefs, Justin Houston was on that side up until last year with Dee Ford switching. They had great pass rushers. And who am I forgetting here? Oh, the Raiders. The Raiders had Bruce Irving on that side. There's been good pass rush. And Schwartz has... You know, we've not really even noticed the pass rush in the AFC West with him out there. J.J. Watt's another guy that plays on that side, even though he's not in the AFC West. It just kind of specifies how important that right tackle has got, because for so many years, teams put their best offensive linemen at left tackle. And, you know, offenses adjusted. Defenses adjusted, and they started putting their best playmaker on the other side, so they weren't going up against the offense's best offensive lineman. That makes a ton of sense, and that's how we've got an NFL that's dominant, you know, with their pass rushers on the right tackle side. And so the Chiefs have the best right tackle in the game locked up for 3 more years. That is very good news. The Chiefs also signed a tight end today. I believe his name is Nick Sterling. He's a guy that was on the Chiefs practice squad a couple of years ago. They had him in for a workout back in March. Didn't end up signing him. He went to the Jets, but he got released this week, and they're bringing him in. So it looks like the Chiefs are still, you know, looking at options at tight end. They've brought in a lot of guys at that position over the past month. And they're just trying to find somebody that sticks, I believe. Now, one thing that came out since my last podcast, it does sound like the Chris Jones Chiefs extension talks are getting kind of, I don't want to say nasty, but they're starting to turn just a little bit. Apparently, you know, the talks haven't gone well with Jones's agent. Jones didn't show up to this mandatory minicamp, which honestly, why would he? because he's not really gaining anything by being there. He's not getting paid a lot this season. You know, he's a second round pick. I'm not exactly sure, so that I'm just pulling this out of nowhere. So, but I'm not certain how accurate it is, but I'm guessing $1 to $2 million this season. Maybe a little more than that, but you know, in that range anyway. And you know, if he gets hurt in one of these camps and isn't able to play this season, he could lose everything. You know, so he's really got nothing to gain by being there. But now the Chiefs kind of supposedly issued this statement to him. I guess it's not a statement. It's something they said to him. I believe it was Rappaport yesterday, saying that the Chiefs had said if Jones didn't show up to minicamp, they weren't going to talk to him. So basically, talks are stalled until Jones arrives personally. And that just lets you know that things aren't going well. I worried about that. You know, I've been talking about it for a while, that it's going to be hard to pay two guys playing side by side $20 million each. I think the franchise tag on Jones's position is a little bit less than $20 million. So the Chiefs could just be trying to ride this year out and then, you know, plan on franchise tagging them for next year. I think that would probably be in the $16 to $17 million range next year, which would be a little less than the $20 million that I'm guessing that he wants. It does make sense to me, though, that he would want the $20 million a year range. He's younger than Frank Clark. His best pass rushing season blows away Frank Clark's best pass rushing season. They're both high motor, high energy guys. You know me personally that I have a little bit of worry about Jones's body. You know that a guy as tall as him and, you know, as big as him is going to hold up. But there are a lot of guys that do. And, you know, you don't want to lose a 24-year-old that's just entering his prime that looks this good. So hopefully they figure something out, because, you know, everything I see on Twitter that he tweets and people tweet, he just seems like a genuinely good guy. And, you know, the more of those guys that are on the Chiefs, you know, the better I feel. That's just the truth. There was a little more news today. The Chiefs did cut three more players, actually four more, I believe, but they released a defensive back that I didn't even recognize his name enough to know he was on the team. And then they released a tackle who was kind of the same way, an offensive tackle. I just didn't really recognize his name. I think it was Simon. And then there were a couple players that were interesting. One is Gary Johnson, who was the linebacker from Texas. You know, there were, you know, a lot of draft analysts that thought he would be drafted late in the draft, and he wasn't. Signed with Kansas City. You know, he's got a lot of history with Derek Johnson, of course, because he went to Texas, and they just knew each other. And I guess it just didn't work out. He didn't really even make it that far. It's pretty early to be cut, honestly. But they just must have had a pretty good feeling that he wasn't going to make the team and wanted to give him a chance to go somewhere else and make the team. Because one thing about cutting guys this early is it doesn't mean necessarily that they are bad. It means that they thought enough of them to know that, hey, you're probably not going to make this team. But if we release you this early, you know, you should have a good chance to stick somewhere else. And I think that's the situation with Gary Johnson. Quick story about Gary Johnson. There's a guy I work with named Gary, who is a good guy. don't joke them a whole lot, but sometimes I do. And I had been reading an Arrowhead Pride article, I believe, on my break at work, and it mentioned, the relationship between Derek Johnson and Gary Johnson. And it had a quote from Gary Johnson in it that just killed me. And you've got to know that my sense of humor is very juvenile. Hopefully yours is too. But the line in the article said, Gary said the two Johnsons have been in contact for years. And that just hit my funny spot. And I had to go tell Gary about it because I thought that was hilarious. Now, the other guy that was released today is probably somebody you've definitely heard about if you follow much Chiefs coverage. And that is James Williams. He was a running back that the Chiefs brought in after this draft. A lot of people thought he would be drafted. He was the running back from Washington. And, he's a good pass catcher, ran good routes. He struggled running, I believe. That was kind of his downfall is he wasn't good carrying the football. And that's somewhere where he needed to kind of improve. And I don't think he had a ton of strength. And that's something that he can definitely improve on with time. But I've heard, he's kind of a young James White kind of player. And, I think it was the same situation. He impressed the Chiefs, but he wasn't going to make this team. And, they're giving him a chance to go out there and get picked up and play in this league. And that leaves the Chiefs with four running backs. Of course, Damian Williams, Carlos Hyde, Darwin Thompson, and Darrell Williams. And I basically have them ranked in that order right now. I do think that Chiefs Kingdom is probably underestimating Carlos Hyde just a little bit. He's not really over the hill. He doesn't have a ton of tread on his tires from last year. He does, has been banged up a little bit. But I think, he was used a little bit like a hammer with the 49ers, where he ran just straight ahead a lot. And I think he can do a little bit more than that. And I don't think he's done physically, so I think he's got some stuff to offer. But he's not necessarily an explosive guy. He's going to get what's there. He's going to play smart football. Now, the guy that really gets me excited, of course, is the Darwin Thompson. And I think this is really good for him because, of course, James Williams, a lot of people were seeing him as direct competition for Darwin Thompson. And so this kind of relieves the pressure just a little bit, at least in my mind, on Thompson. I also read where Thompson was getting some first-team reps along with Damian Williams and Carlos Hyde. So they're getting him out there. One thing about, I mentioned Hyde's not really a big play guy. Damian Williams, for being 6'2", 220, he's not really in running a 4.3-something, 4.4, sub 4.4. He's not particularly a big play guy. And what I mean by that is him and Hyde, they'll have the 40-yard plays, but they're not necessarily going to break an 80-yard reception or an 80-yard run. And Darwin Thompson, even if he gets limited time this year, even if he just gets 5 or 6 touches a game through the season, we are going to see him bust 5 or 6 huge plays. That's just the way he is. He's dynamic. He had the number one elusive rating in all of college football last year. That's just a kind of a PFF grade, basically, on how hard somebody is to tackle. And there were some gifted guys in this running back class at causing missed tackles, and Darwin Thompson led that. And the other amazing part about Thompson is, even though people keep talking about him being 5'8", 200 pounds, he's a power player. Like I say, so many people haven't watched his film and they want to talk about him, or they want to talk about him, you know, only getting half the carries last year and not being sturdy enough. Well, yeah, he got half the carries because Utah State has another really good running back that's going to be there one more year. And Darwin actually cut into his carries when he got there, a guy that's likely to play in the NFL in the future. And he was actually the lightning, while Thompson, with his 4.4 speed, was the thunder, because he brings power. And he's got, you know, extreme quickness, extreme contact balance. And one thing that I've seen underestimated by people, I believe, and I'm no film analyst. I mean, I enjoy watching film. I'm sure you guys enjoy watching the games. And what I call watching film is just a lot of times, you know, anywhere I can find a player's game that I'm interested in, just going and watching them for 20 or 30 minutes. And if it interests me, I'll watch some more. And I can't really explain it, but you just see traits that you like. They jump off the screen at you. And Thompson was that way. And I think Chiefs Kingdom is going to be treated to a lot. Now, does that mean that he becomes the main guy right off the bat this year, or even this year at all? There's a good possibility not. There's a good possibility that they're looking at him as a part of the future, and maybe more of a gimmick guy this year. But when I say that, I think I should also caution with the fact that 2 years ago, Kareem Hunt wasn't supposed to be the starting running back either. It took Spencer Ware getting hurt for Kareem Hunt to get that job. Not that he wouldn't have got it later on, but, you know, who knows how long it would have took. And the same could be said for last year. If it hadn't been for Hunt, you know, getting kicked off the team, Williams would not have looked that good and would have not been the starter going into this year. So, you know, crap happens. And I think Hyde and Thompson will both be ready if something does happen to Damian Williams. And I think our running back room is absolutely loaded, and the rest of the league does not understand that. To me, they are loaded better than they were last year. As much as I liked Kareem Hunt, and if you listen to this past podcast, you know he's one of my favorite players of maybe all time with the Chiefs. You know, he was up there. I just love the way he played so much. But in this system, these backs fit so well. I think as a group, you know, this trio could be better. And I also like Darrell Williams a lot. And I'm hoping that he makes this team. I know there are going to be some tough decisions ahead for sure, but we will see. It does sound like Travis Kelce was not able to participate in this mandatory minicamp. I mean, he's there. He's just not practicing. There was video of him doing running, things like that. So he's definitely working out and getting his body ready, but he's just not quite ready to be, you know, out there taking reps. One thing I do like about this is that by Kelce being, you know, recovering from surgery, and by Tyreek Hill being out with the issues he's facing, which of course I kind of talked about in the last podcast, it's giving reps to other guys. And, you know, from the different things I'm reading on Twitter, from the people that are at camp, you know, maybe Mahomes and Watkins will never be the perfect pairing, but it sounds like they're getting more and more comfortable with each other, and that you know, compared to last year, they're definitely in a groove with each other. You know, which could lead to, it's a very good things for Sammy Watkins if he stays healthy. Mecole Hardman, somebody made a really good point. I think it was on the Locked On Chiefs podcast. And it just kind of struck me. And that was that, yeah, Mecole Hardman might have not, basically, and I'm paraphrasing and adding some of my own to this, by the way. But, you know, he might not have the greatest skill set when the Chiefs drafted him. But the skill set he does have, physical skill set, with the speed and his, you know, he's young and he seems to have a lot of drive. And the fact that Patrick Mahomes can elevate people, I forget that sometimes. That Patrick Mahomes can take maybe a green kid like Hardman with the, you know, one extreme skill set and his speed and make him into a good receiver, even in his rookie year, even as Mecole Hardman is learning how to be a receiver. I think anybody that will, you know, watch the games last year probably didn't think that DeMarcus Robinson was really playing the position of receiver that great, but Mahomes found him. And he made catches, and he made some big-time catches. And I'm on record saying that I don't really think DeMarcus Robinson, if there's kind of a bigger name surprise cut, I think it's him. Because I think there are some young receivers in our camp that people are underestimating. And not just good talented-wise, but good mentally. And, you know, I think that's underrated somewhat, that you get a young guy that can pick up the offense, and it really puts pressure on somebody like DeMarcus Robinson, who's played in this offense for years and still doesn't grasp, you know, everything that he should. I'm sure there are some things I am forgetting. The franchise episode 2 came out last night. It's on YouTube. If you just type in the franchise, it's the Kansas City Chiefs, I guess, show, you would call it. It's kind of like a Hard Knocks type of thing. They maybe don't get as in-depth as Hard Knocks does, but if you're a Chiefs fan, it's very interesting. They did mention a couple things on the episode last night. It really kind of looked like, prior to the draft, that the Chiefs were really interested in some corners early. And, of course, Byron Murphy, he was kind of the consensus number one corner. I didn't watch really any film on corners. I watched a few plays. The people that I respect a lot in the film community that, you know, I listen to love Byron Murphy. So, you know, that's kind of how I formed my opinion on him. But, you know, I was really hoping the Chiefs could get him. And then kind of the more surprising one to me was Rock Ya-Sin, the Temple cornerback. You know, I'd seen him going all the way to maybe the third or the fourth round in some mock drafts. There are a lot of questions about him, just mainly because he played at a really small college that, you know, lost their football team. And that's why he had to transfer to Temple, and he just played 1 year. But he was one of the guys that the Chiefs mentioned. And, of course, the Colts took him earlier in the second round than the Chiefs picked, and he didn't make it to him. So, you know, it'd be kind of interesting, you know, just to see how the draft would have shaken out if the Chiefs had never got Frank Clark. I'm not saying that I wish they hadn't got him. I just kind of wish I could see the alternate universe where we got that draft. I think that is pretty much all I got, guys. Go Chiefs and go Chiefs Kingdom.